When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
His popularity will be known today.
Yeah, of course. I mean, but
this
I'm
was
saying
his third election.
Yeah, the data shows he's very strong.
Mostly, after your first election, you start losing, and as it's been shown,
it dropped. It dropped from 82 to 80.
People get fed up and tired of you.
Yeah.
You actually end up being somebody who's not fulfilling. And let's look at the timing properly. 2008. He was in the position when he went into parliament. 2009.
Yeah.
In 2012, still in the position, but still the numbers dropped. They still could not get the very things they wanted from a Ajuri as member of parliament. But again, I agree that the watershed moment of 2016, where the change was happening, contributed to the higher numbers that people got there, because all hands were on deck in that area. From Jabir and Fidasi, look at the numbers across the board.
Yes.
They were all delivering. They were delivering because they needed the numbers in the Ashanti region to actually push an election into a way that everybody wanted, a huge number of vote difference, and the numbers that would really send a signal to everybody. So that could be explained that way, because it would be strange for a member of parliament who has been there on two different occasions to get improving figures going into the next election, because people really will think that he has not done much, or even will be fed up with him. They start giving you names. If they don't call you Mugabe, they call you all the other fanciful things that the West comes up with when you are going into the election. That is where the difficulty was. And let's not get it wrong. This was also the first time that John Kumar contested him.
Yeah.
And lost to him in the first place.
And lost to him in the first place.
Evans, this is the other thing. Who is this man?
Let's go there, because it's important.
Man? And what has he done? Now, this is a civil engineer. This is a guy who's worked with highways.
That's true.
Over the period.
Way before they even came to power.
Yes, over the period, what had been his contribution to the constituency?
Mm.
And so you look at all of these things. Look, and you spoke to him in 2016 in the heat of the
Kasua
interchange and the pricing controversy. What did he tell you?
Yeah.
This is a man that was seen as the professional.
That's true.
He spoke professionally. The party didn't like it then, but
this is the case. That is the case.
Yeah.
But what happens with those kind of people is that even in opposition, because of how they are and because of the association, with the industry in which they are. So, you're a civil engineer. You've been at highways. You've headed some of the
regions. He has goodwill. He has connections.
He has goodwill. So at every point in time, when you have a man saying, and what is the major problem in a lot of our constituents?
Roads.
The roads.
Roads.
And always get a road.
I want to jump quickly a few slides to that point you're just making there. And I'll come back to these slides where you see his race with John Kumar. But the point you're making is about this.
Yes.
We want to pull out the roads data. Mm-hmm. And he was appointed as a deputy roads minister in 2017 with Campbell.
Yeah.
Everybody remember this. And the data shows that between 2017 and 2021, Ejusu saw 21.4 kilometers of road.
Mm-hmm.
He's been campaigning, telling them, that's the point you're making, that, listen, it was because of my connections, because of my ministerial position, that I brought you the roads. And when I heard the president say what he said, for me, it was a confirmation, rather, that he's been very effective in using his influence and that history that you talk about with road contractors, etc., to bring the roads there. You were making a point with that.
But even this 26 and 21, 26 is more, me. 2021 to December 2022. It means that John Kuma has done better if you compare that to him. But, yeah. But it's also important for us to find out, for instance, when this road data, at what point this was
it, is it length of completed
road
projects?
Yes.
Not necessarily starting of them.
Yeah.
Because length of completed projects.
Projects.
So this is the point. Length of completed projects.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing. Length
of completed projects. 2017 to 2022. And those of us listening to us on Joy 99.7 FM, we're showing the graphs on the screen. Always what we do is to try and help you make sense of it. And we can only do that with data. And that's what we're showing. So if you're watching, you're listening, you want to really see, just get on your phone. But if you're in traffic, you're driving, don't do so. Enjoy the listening.
Let me list specifically the areas that he said I did
the focus. The focus areas.
Yes. Okay.
List them and do some analysis.
Paso Town Roads, Esempong Town Roads. There is also the Sape Town Roads, Donina Town Roads, Domiaba Town Roads, Krapa Town Roads. I mean, I'm skipping the other projects anyway. The Kwamo Town Roads, Fumasa Asphalt Overlay, and Fumasa comes to mind because that's where the incident happened anyway.
Yeah, okay.
The incident we are talking about.
I mean, the incident with the alleged bribery.
Yes, that's where it happened, actually. Positive. Yeah. Abanko to Adesina connecting roads, mm-hmm. Tikrom to Antwa connecting roads, and also there are six others that are actually listed within his own. I cannot count the number of members of parliament who can list, and these are not just short stretches. These are not just town roads within a small area. They are linking roads that are very important in the community. So it's not surprising that he claimed that I did these things. Again, if the man who was 2002 to 2008, the Ashanti Regional Highways Director, engineer in charge of that particular area, you would expect he knows every small area that's required of him.
Yeah.
Indeed, whenever he had put out his achievements, at the very roads he had constructed and all the things he had done, the question people kept asking him is that, why are you extending to other towns within the same area, but not necessarily within the constituency? One of the reasons why people in Jabin, for example, were worried about the performance of the MP who had just been kicked out.
You say Jabin because we used to know it as a Jusu Jabin.
Yes, connecting.
When you wanted the first time, it was like a
Jusu Jabin, yeah.
Brilliant. But one of the reasons people are saying is that when we look at a Jusu and the developments going there, you could attribute it to Adeyemi or even John Kuma more recently. But in the case of Jabin, you can say he's the chairman of the Council of State that's making the impact there because he's the almighty there and not necessarily the member of parliament. So people felt that the member of parliament was not doing enough. He was the standard for determining MPs who build roads in their area. So this new conversation that, it's the president that did it. If you ask the people on the committee, that committee of roads and highways in parliament, even as a minority member of parliament, he drafted most of the reports
because
the skills were lacking on the committee.
And everybody came to him. It was a reference point.
Look, Evans, you know statistics. Statistics. We can actually prepare statistics. Let me just use this football analogy. We can prepare statistics and say that over the last 10 games, this team would have been first or this team would have been last. But that doesn't mean that is the reality on the ground. Length of completed rules between 2017 to 2022. When were they started?
Yeah.
If we do the argument, if we were to go for the when they started, some of it may not even fall under Duomi as from 2017 to 2021. Some may have happened under the NDC regime.
When he was ranking. Remember, you made a point. He had influence.
Goodwill.
Yeah.
So these roles that were completed at this point in time, did it start under his tenure? Can he claim it in a country
that those completed under John Kuma?
Yes, I don't, you know, personally, I don't subscribe to this kind of, I completed this, I started this project, so it's my project, that kind of thing we do in this country, that someone says, I went for a loan, and so it is my project. Even the whole idea of a project is not something I subscribe to. I think that governance is more than saying that I constructed roads.
But does it work with voters?
It does.
Exactly.
It does. I mean, I just have to give you my...
I get it, but fundamental question for you on this one.
So this one, we need to ask ourselves a few questions. When did it start? For purposes of the NDPP's own analysis and for its own politics, you want to do this. But the people on the ground may actually remember who started it.
That's true.
And actually say, this road started under this person.
And you're
That's
right.
What we do. Yeah.
And you're right. And we're going to go back to the constituency because Nanaya Aljima was on the ground and I taxed him to sort of do a straw poll, just talk to people. And a lot of people came to him telling him that for the roads, it's Ediumi.
Yeah.
For the roads, it's Ediumi. And we got a lot of those voices. And I wasn't surprised the president decided to deal with it, because if he dealt with it, he would have been briefed that, listen, people are responding to this Ediumi roads question. And you've done ballot box, I've done ballot box. Yeah. When we travel around the country, and we get the roads is always top two.
Yeah.
Roads is always top two. And so the president had to respond to it. Now, it is a reason why tonight is one of those very slippery, tricky nights for the MPP in Ejusu, because they are facing a candidate. Look, John Sowusu was very popular.
Very.
Very popular. But in his constituency, at the time that he won it as an independent, what was it that he could say lay claim? He would have done great things. But roads takes far more effort. It costs a lot more to do.
Yeah.
And the people see it. It's tangible. Yeah. They drive on it. They've seen when it was just bare ground to asphalt. And that imagery in people's heads is one that Ediumi is laying claim to. That those other ones, those like the two, Joe Sowusu and the former MP, could not lay claim to those sort of things. But they still won in Ashanti region.
Yeah.
There's something about the MPP stronghold that when one of their formidable individuals draw and they sort of fall out with them and go independent, causes a bit of a stare. But why did this fallout happen? And since we are putting this in context, I want to go back to that slide that I skipped, because that will give us a sense of why this fallout happened. And that fallout happened between himself and the party in the lead up to the 2020 elections, where he came up against John Kuma in that primary. And you see on your screens there, in that particular primary in 2020, leading up to that elections, John Kuma won it by 397 votes. Yeah. Ediumi won it, lost, of course, by 307 votes. The gap there was 90, but he kept complaining that the voters' roll had been manipulated, was bloated, they had brought him people just so they knock him off. And he was aggrieved. If you listen to John Kuma and his people who followed him at the time, there was this view that in Ejusu, you have three terms. There was this unwritten rule, this convention, that you do three terms and then you hand over to somebody else. He didn't believe in it. But the party said, You've done three terms, it's time to go. And he decided to stand, and so he lost. And he kept filing petitions on petitions, at least. That is what his people told us. That is why, immediately, in 2020, he didn't go independent. He said that many times in this particular campaign. I did not go independent because I wanted to give the party an opportunity to fix and right the wrongs. And he says, when John Kuma died, he felt this was a time to show the party that they have been, you've treated me unfairly, because they've given them enough time to fix this. Then he jumps into the race. That, at least from his people, is the explanation they've offered as to why he's in the race, and that he's doing it out of clean heart, right? But is it really? Were his grievance valid or not? But he's in the race.
I think another element that we mostly ignore in this fight between Ediumi and John Kuma is Chairman Ountumi. That's Ashanti regional chairman.
Mm.
You know, Ediumi ended up contesting him in the last regional election.
Yeah.
He lost, but he wanted to make the point. We all know the relationship between John Kuma and also Chairman Ountumi.
Yeah.
Ediumi has always had problems with how, at the regional level, issues have been resolved by Chairman Ountumi. He felt that they were not using the right processes. He also felt that the national leadership were not even listening to the arguments that he was making in ways they were just willing and ready to move on, as if somebody is interested in installing whoever they want on the ground without having to engage the people and understanding the problems. So that had been fundamental to him. He believed, and his main argument even going into the regional chairmanship election, was that there's a certain level of integrity and standard lost. They need to bring it back. Somebody like him with this reputation is the one that they need to bring back the standards in the Ashanti region. People cannot merely occupy the position without understanding the rules and yet pretending that they are ruling the areas or making adjudications which did not make sense.
Mm.
That is what ended up cases in court. He didn't want to explore that in the beginning. He didn't want to, because there were some issues that people said they were threatening to go to court and all of that. So at the core of that fight has been the belief that John Kuma had to be installed in Ejusu, had to be made member of parliament, whether he liked it or not. And he was not really for the issue. Mm. In fact, in the first time they did a contest, There was a lot of the, where are you from? Which areas do you claim? The whole place that John Kuma is from, is it really one of the main towns? Is it big enough to compare to his Bisiasi hometown that he has actually claimed? Of course, we know Bisiasi is a big place within Ejusu in the first place. So the thinking was that this fight had a third hand, and that third hand was Bernard Edubuesiako. And he had played a very key role in the ground and made it possible for John Kuma to come in.
One of the things Raymond doesn't want to say, it's not where, how big your town is, but whether you really come from here. That's the politics he doesn't want to get into.
And how does that relate to Juomi or any other people?
So those who know they're just politics.
Yes,
know what we're talking about. That you know when in 20.
No, the vote is over. So yeah, you can say.
No, I'm saying like in 2015 the primaries between Juomi and John Kuma. It was more like John Kuma you know, you know, that kind of politics. But I mean, the man is passed on now. You don't want to get into that kind of politics now. But this is it. Edomi would have known. So if you had problems in 2024, why did you not contest? Did the problems still persist? He suggests, he gives the impression they had not corrected the problem. Why did you then decide now? I think it's simple. By 2023, 2024, John Kuma had become very popular and very influential in that constituency. There was no way Edomi was going to contest and win. Yeah. He was going to lose. Of course, he was also in control of
massive resources.
Yeah,
just look at the party office he built.
And everything. So Edomi wasn't going to get in there. He wasn't going to be successful with that. So what was he going to do? The only thing was to stay away, and that's why he wanted to be regional chairman. But by end of 2024, when John Kuma passes on, if he looks at all those who are contesting and his influence within the constituency, that becomes the right time. And listen to this carefully.
Politics about opportunism.
Exactly. Yeah. Listen to this carefully. Today, if Owusu Edomi wins the election, where is he going to sit in parliament?
That's a big question.
Can he say he would not join the NPP? He may have to join the NPP.
Don't go there yet, because that is a whole conversation we'll have tonight.
Yes.
On the implication of an outcome.
We're waiting for an parliament.
You're waiting for an outcome first. Because that will definitely... And I will take you back to the constituency now, because one...
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time. There are a few more things we need to clear out, because Global Info Analytics have done some polling there. We'll talk about that. And then we'll sit down and then get into the bribery video. Well, the alleged bribery video, the video that we shot that has been a subject of an investigation by the EC. Two EC officers have now been withdrawn. Nana Yaojima is joining me right now. He has one of the aspirants with him. And Nana, what can you tell us? Because I can see that polling counting has begun in where you are possibly. An outcome is known. Talk to us.
Not long ago, counting was done here at Ejusu ILCJHS, and now we have provisional results with us here. Now, what is happening within some of the polling stations that we visited so far is that there is some tension within these areas after the counting started. It looks like both sides, that of Honorable Kwabena Owusu Edomi and that of the New Patriotic Party, Kwabena Boateng, both sides are very, very calm. They do not know where the election now is going, because as Kwabena Boateng win in some of the polling stations, Adeyemi is also winning by some margins within other polling stations here within the Ejusu constituency. Nana Boateng is returning from some of the polling stations. He will be giving us some of the results he has so far. Boateng.
So, Nana, the results that we have here are provisional results, and they are from the Ejusu Basic School here where we are currently. And it is from the primary basic school and then the junior high school. From the primary school, Kwabena Owusu Adeyemi had 99 votes, and then lawyer Kwabena Boateng had 96 votes. And also from the junior high school, lawyer Kwabena Boateng had 119 votes, and then Kwabena Owusu Adeyemi also had 186 votes. And also from the basic school, the primary school, I must say, Kwabena Owusu Adeyemi had 147 votes, and then lawyer Kwabena Boateng had 130 votes. So these are the provisional results from the three centers here at the Ejusu MA School, where we can say that from the provisional results, Owusu Adeyemi, the former MP and independent candidate, is pulling some surprises. He has clearly, from the provisional results, won this particular polling center.
Even though Kwabena Owusu Adeyemi has been able to win this particular center, not much of excitement by his supporters within the polling station. Let's go through other results that we have here. Coming in from Kokobra Forestry PS, lawyer Kwabena Boateng was able to get 103 votes, as Kwabena Owusu Adeyemi had 63 votes. These are provisional results from Kokobra Forestry. And also at the Chief's Palace, that's polling station B, lawyer Kwabena Boateng was able to get 94 votes against Kwabena Owusu Adeyemi's 92 votes. And also at Assembly Hall B, Kwabena Owusu Adeyemi won that polling station with 107 votes as against 97 votes. Let's go to Kwamo scoreboard. That Kwamo scoreboard. Provisional results indicate that Kwabena Boateng, lawyer, MPP candidate, had 140 votes against Kwabena Owusu Adeyemi's 130 votes. So these results that are trickling in, you know, some of them, of the polling station, are falling for Kwabena Owusu Adeyemi, as others for MPP's candidate, Kwabena Boateng. I have with me Dr. Evans Dia, who was one of the aspirants during the NPP primary, and he is a staunch member of the New Patriotic Party. He's been going through the constituency, he's been going through the polling stations as well, trying to monitor. He was also observing within some of the polling stations, so he joins me. Let's ask, Doc, going through some of the polling stations, what have you come across? Does it look promising for the New Patriotic Party?
I think that Ejusu constituency is for the New Patriotic Party. It's been a keen competition, but we'll still win the seat. What is actually happening is that the loss of Dr. John Aponchie Kuma, going around and trying to call them from their homes to vote, you could actually see that most of them were still saddened by his demise, and for that reason, a number of them were not coming out to vote. And that is because of the loss of Dr. John Aponchie Kuma. I personally moved from house to house and places to talk to them to vote. For example, I went to a Sienimpon Onye, where in the morning we had about 20-30% turnout, but later on people came in their numbers, 300-400, and they came to vote. And I'm sure that it will reflect in the numbers.
So you think that the demise of Dr. John Aponchie Kuma caused some apathy within the constituents?
Yes, it caused some apathy, but I would talk in the sense of bereavement, where people were sad. People still couldn't believe that we're actually voting at this time when he's yet to be buried. We had to talk to them because some of them were still grieving, and you could see that it had affected quite a number of them. So I personally believe that it affected them, but we spoke to them and they all came to vote finally.
Now, some results have been trickling in from the polling stations. You think that NPP can still retain the seat?
The good thing is that the independent candidate was a formidable candidate. So you expect that somebody who has been in the system and was an MP for 12 years is definitely quite popular. So the key thing is that he's going to win some places, but most of the places will be won by the New Patriotic Party. So if you look at the comparison with the results that are coming in now, you see that where he won with a bit of a close margin. But where Lawyer Boateng, the MPP, is winning, they are winning with quite a number, a huge margin. And this tells us that eventually we'll win the elections.
You have anything from the NPP's coalition center yet?
Yes, we actually have some numbers trickling in now. And the numbers that I'm seeing as I'm talking to you is really solid. Almost everything that is happening is showing that we are winning. Bunre currently is showing that we are winning. Adako Jache is showing that we are winning. If you look at what is also happening at Onye, I came from there, they collated in front, we are winning. And there are some places that our numbers are very high. So I will tell everybody listening and watching us, the MPP has definitely won this election. It was a keen one, but I'm very sure we've won it. So please calm down. We'll be the victors at the end. Congratulations.
All right. NPP, very optimistic of winning this particular election. If MPP should win Bunre Township, I will be very surprised, because it was one of the very hostile environments for the NPP during the campaign period. Videos circulated showing that when you go to Bunre, the NPP people who were dispatched to Bunre to campaign were not getting a calm or friendly environment to campaign. They were being booed all over Bunre. So it will be very, very surprising if the NPP should win Bunre. I have with me Nana Boateng Yiadom, who is bringing in other results from these areas.
So Nana, we have some provisional results from Ejusu Onri. Ejusu Onri is a stronghold of Lawyer Kwabena Boateng, the MPP's candidate. Lawyer Kwabena Boateng had 231 votes at Ejusu Onri, and Owusu Edionim had 32 votes. Surprisingly, the vote is actually turning out to go in favor of Lawyer Kwabena Boateng. Pentecost Church for Mesa, Kwabena Boateng had 169, Edionim 77, and Dapa also had one rejected ballot. Also Pentecost Church as well, Pentecost Church 2, Lawyer Kwabena Boateng with 169 again, and then Adiomi with one vote. Adiomi also at the Chief's Palace, there's a polling station over there, with 178 votes, and Lawyer Kwabena Boateng with 207 votes. And last would be the RCKG for Ejusu. That is where Lawyer Kwabena Boateng had 96 votes, Adiomi with 99 votes. Nana, the results that we have clearly shows that the thing is actually turning in favor of the NPP's candidate, Lawyer Kwabena Boateng.
It's early days yet. Still some more communities to go. But what we can say is that none of the two candidates is able to go out and, you know, jubilate, because it's still early days yet. The results trickling in is not showing any concrete evidence that either Kwabena Boateng or Lawyer or Owusu Edionim is winning this race yet. We have with me one of the NPP observers here. Sir, welcome.
I heard you saying that none of them has not been jubilated.
Yes, because I'm not seeing any jubilations yet.
We have won the election.
Where? I haven't seen it.
We've seen the election. We have won the election. In fact, where we are thinking that the results will even put that into a vibrate, that is the Zongo communities. From the Zongo community, and if you look at the difference, the margin, it tells you that where we are getting there is even bigger than this one. So we have won the election. This election, I don't know why people keep on saying that it's a threat to MPP. It's our seat. And we are taking it, we are jubilating. It's because you are here, yeah, you are right. If you go to the other side, you see that Ikram Krom or what, going to, as you are going to Drabe. You see the way people are jubilating. We have won the election. The margin is, if you go to Zongo, some places 67, 61, some places 70, 61 with 71. You know the difference, the margin is not big. At compare 198 to 60. You understand? So we have won the election. Our supporters are jubilating. And I told you in the morning that we'll win this election. This is our seat. So, but let me use this opportunity to thank the medias. You have done a wonderful job. And the government of Ghana appreciates the medias, and the Ghanaians appreciate what you guys.
So that is happening here within the Ejusu constituency. So we'll continue to go into some of the polling stations and get some of the provisional results for you.
There's that there, Danai Aljuma, on the ground for us in Ejusu there, giving us a sense of what is happening there on the ground. The results are beginning to trickle in. We're waiting for it to go to the collation center, and then we get a sense of what indeed will be happening there. And so you want to stay with us. But indeed, we were on this slide here. We're talking about the Global Info Analytics poll that they've done, telling us that this is going to be close, with Diomi coming in at 47.50 and Kwabena Boateng coming in at 50.60. But then they are undecided. But the thing, though, that we haven't talked about is NDC. NDC is not in the race. But they had 14,000 votes, I believe, in the last elections, yes, in terms of those who voted for them.
Yes.
And when they polled those who voted for them, 92% of the NDC voters said they would vote for Adeyemi.
And that's to be expected. But the question is, can that 92% of them who say they will vote for Adeyemi be able to let him win if he doesn't pull anything from the NPP? No, he needs to pull from the NPP.
No.
And this is the other point also. Will the NDC supporters who say if they're going to vote, and I'm sure the question, if you're going to vote, will you vote? Whom will you vote for, Adeyemi or Kwabena Boateng? But the question is, will they vote? And that's a problem with some of these things, okay? So what will be the incentive for the NDC to go and vote in this particular election? Because the NDC is not campaigning there. So if they feel like, then they will go out there to go and vote. So really, this is a contest between within the NPP support base.
Mm.
You'd have some of the NDC supporters, okay, going to vote for Adeyemi. Others may also, majority of them going to vote for Adeyemi, and others would also go and vote for Kwabena Boateng. But really, Adeyemi's success will be dependent on his ability to pull more votes from the NPP base.
Yeah, and that, by the way, is a key thing. This, the role that the NDC is playing in the constituency, although they are there, is very important. But of course, if you are an MPP, NDC person, it's in your interest, right?
I'll use the Tamale Central election of 2006 to make a point.
Mm.
At the time when Professor Wayuseni decided to cross carpet in Parliament, it meant that a seat had to be declared vacant. The NPP did not contest that seat. Professor Wayuseni contested an independent candidate.
Mm.
Now, the NPP, okay, the NPP went into that election hoping to support Professor Wayuseni to pull votes from the NDC and then win the election. It didn't happen.
Mm. So we'll see where the NDC voters in the constituency will vote tonight. Obviously, the NDC has been campaigning there somehow on the ground quietly. And of course, if you can get your members to vote for Adeyemi, who can then cause your principal enemies in the elections.
Why not?
Of course, you do. I mean, politics is all about opportunism. We've already dealt with this. And we've talked about the Akufo-Addo's campaign on the ground with the roads. Adeyemi himself has responded to those claims already on it. But there's something else that we need to highlight quickly before we sit, which is the president that we've been referring to. Yesterday when I spoke to, on your screens, by the way, is George Owusu, who in 2008 himself complained about unfair treatment by the party, MPP, and therefore went independent as we.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So the outcome was that he won. He's currently the first deputy speaker in parliament. After he had won as an independent, he was brought back into the fold. And so when you hear people say, well, once you go independent, you forfeit your membership.
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't really transpire.
It depends on who you are.
It depends on who you are.
But I mean, the evidence is that these two, in fact, let me add another constituency. Busumhif Fahim, in 2008, Ofori Kuregu.
Mm-hmm.
He was member of parliament. He lost his primaries. And he said when he was going on a thank you tour, the chief said, oh, Saimbra. And he decides to go again. He won in 2008 as an independent candidate. Unfortunately for him, he contested the primaries on the ticket of the NPP and lost in 2012. he went back as an independent candidate and he lost. But in 2008, he also won as an independent candidate, still in the Ashanti region.
So that clearly is an issue for the MPP. Yesterday, the national organizer told me they thought about this. They know this president there and the one you just mentioned in addition to that. So three instances. Edomi is the fourth instance in the Ashanti region that could come back to bite them, right? And that is possibly why you've seen them deploy all the big guns. They are not taking this for granted. Ordinarily, this should have been a walk in the park. The three of us should be home, sipping on some juice, taking your nap, preparing for tomorrow's morning show. But we're here because it's an Odiomi factor. And because we also know that history in politics is very, very important. And so because of these two, you cannot take your eye off tonight's ball. But we'll wait for the results to come in. And as we go on, and you look at the performance of the Joel Sowusu, for example, at a time when he jumped in, and you know this, a good friend of yours, 76.7%.
Yeah. He won. I mean,
he won it.
Look, in 2008, that was Eduse Poku, at the time, I think it was a deputy minister, and he had lost the primary. He felt the primary were unfair. Then he goes independent, sweeps it.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it was like the whole community voted for him. In 2012, he improves.
Yeah, significantly. Keeps on improving. Of course, he dropped. And that's just a man who knows when to bow out.
Oh, yes. And I mean, by this time, he knew his time was up.
Yes, and he's left the scene now.
He's gone.
So those are the numbers for you. We're just bringing this up to say that there's a similarity there between what happened in the Joel Sowusu case and what has happened in the Diomi case. And that is why we are bringing this up, to show you history is important when you're analyzing politics, because it especially when you're looking at a party's stronghold, the changes there can affect your outcome. And then you also look at the story of his election outcome, focus on that Bekwai constituency. If you look at the IK Poku Edusa, and that's
Poku Edusa,
you mentioned that he beat him. This is...
He was an incumbent member of parliament.
It destroyed him.
Yeah.
In the elections there, 77%, that's against 18%. And then you go to the story of the second Deputy Speaker of Parliament. He comes in
2016,
72%. And this there is an interesting one, is it not?
Yes, as an independent candidate, he beats the NPP's candidates.
Yeah.
And this man had actually complained about the album for the primaries.
In fact, same as Edomi.
Same
for the album for the
people who were on the... In fact, he complained first about the election of the police station executives.
Yeah.
He felt that there was something fundamentally wrong with the process, like Edomi also did previously. But, I mean, they went up the system, it was largely ignored. And you can draw the lines here. The same comments that were made about the Formina man, the second deputy speaker, similar comments have been made about Edomi. These comments about what he can leave the party, he's nobody without the party. If he claims he has done something in this constituency, he did it all because he was our MP, or because he did it because we gave him money to do so. Then even the likes of the executive president of the republic, who went there to say, let me tell you, I cannot work with people who are not actually members of my party. This gentleman is not part of the party, you can't vote for him. It all did not work. It is what is also heightening it is what's scaring the MPP.
Yep,
it is what's actually making the MPP feel that if you do not take care and anything else happening, we don't have a second deputy speaker position to offer a Edomi anyway. We're a couple of months to a main election.
Even a ministerial position, making the rules minister.
This dress rehearsal, it will haunt us for the next few months. We cannot do much about it. What can we do to make sure that it doesn't happen at all?
Mm.
And in the Formina case, at least they were transitioning, so they needed in parliament. Now, the president is there saying that I have got some business to do in parliament. Please make me maintain my majority in that parliament. Slim majority. So that I can proceed and do the things I want to do for the people, including you in this Ashanti region. The things you've been telling me about, I need to do all. And I have to do all because, really.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.